My name is Lakhay Sharma, and I'm from University of Maine Cooperative Extension, Assistant Professor Extension. I finished up my graduate study from North Dakota State University, and I did some work on active optical sensors to develop in-season nitrogen recommendations for corn, wheat, sunflower, and sugar beet. So did some work with Dave Frenza, his extension soil specialist up at the North Dakota State University, with two graduate students, Eric Schultz and Hong Yang Bu. And they really helped me to finish up my graduate study there, so I would like to acknowledge them there. So today we talk about a little more practical perspective of how we can use the tools and which tools are more practical for the growers. We can develop the models. I heard about the DSAT model, but I don't know anything about that. So, but how we can make it practical possible for the farmers to adopt that technology. And the other part is where the support system, if there is any problem, happens on their end while they are using a tractor in the field. I believe that's totally a different story when you go into the field. Anyways, so we have a little background here. For past 60 years, the increased food production has been a challenge for us, and in next 40 years, we probably have a bigger challenge coming up, how to support that kind of population. During this time period, supplement application of nitrogen as fertilizer increased, as Kamal talked about in his first presentation, almost double in the United States and around the world. The nitrogen is the one most important single nutrient that that can directly relate to the yield of the crop until a certain limit, and then after that it goes with the decrease in yield. Nitrogen is difficult in management because it's the one nutrient that transforms itself in the soil, apart from sulfur. But this is the only one that transforms itself in the soil, a lot more other forms when you applied it into it. Why nitrogen is a challenge? Why its management is a challenge? Explain in the first presentation about the graph picture where you have a denitrification, nitrous oxide formation because of the water in the high clay soils or a leaching as a nitrate into the groundwater on a sandy soils. It is a challenge how to manage that. And the brand application, you don't know. The real world question is, if the farmer is using a blend formation of nitrogen, how he can make it variable nitrogen recommendation? How he can follow that? Most of the farmer does the blend application in their fertilizer applicator. So this is another challenge that we have to deal with. Prices and fertilizer type, the prices goes low, the farmer's tendency to use the nitrogen more and more goes high. Old practices, we are still following the old recommendations, and there is need to improve the recommendations as a pre-planting recommendation so we can cope up with the advanced technology of Precision Ag, that tools we are using, that old philosophy is not in line with the new advanced Precision Ag tools. Crop rotations, we have different crop rotations. Some areas are challenged with what kind of crop rotation we need. Technology adoption is another challenge. Soil types. Most of the recommendation that you will find online or any model is not considering any soil type in their category. You have a one single model for whole crop. Whole soil. So there is no category. Is it a sandy soil? Is it a high clay soil? Is it different response system for the nitrogen in those soils? We don't have that. So in the fertilizer availability is another challenge. What kind of a slow release fertilizer or a readily available nitrogen fertilizer, which one you are using? So those kind of practices actually makes the model complicated. Because the model can predict only certain limits, and it is telling you at the same spot what exactly your situation is. But if your fertilizer is a slow release, cannot support the system, you cannot produce the yield. So it's not the model itself, but there are a whole lot of system attached to it that practical sense that making the model inefficient. So this is the one of my guru, Dr. James Shepherd's slide here. I like this slide the most, and every presentation where I have to present about the nitrogen, I took this slide and present it here. It gives a real imagination how the fertilizer application happens and where the nitrogen is being absorbed by the crop. So look at there here. Let's see if this thing is working here. Around mid of June, 80% of the nitrogen that being being required by the crop is absorbed. But what we do at this point of time, we apply everything as pre-planting. And I'm really serious about that. Most of the growers are not interested in side dress application because they don't have the tools to work with. They don't have the support system, trained, skilled workers in the industry that can support them, train them how to use those tools. So they just using the pre-planting system of fertilizer application. So if we applied our fertilizer here, and this month and a half is the month when you get the most of the precipitation. And what happens in high clay soil? More than 100 pounds you can lose your nitrogen within 4 to 5 days in a high clay soil. When it is not wet condition, but just the soil is saturated. And if it's a sandy soil, it will leach down. And one example of leaching down of a soil nitrogen in a New England is most of their recommendation consider that there is no nitrogen available for any potatoes in the spring planting. They go with the only one rate of application, 160 pounds of nitrogen at planting. And if it's unless you have a leguminous or any cover crop in the previous year, which they give around 40 pounds of credit, but otherwise the soil recommendations are there's no nitrogen in the soil. It's leached down, it's washed down in the sandy soil. All the soils up in the New England is not sandy. They are more silty or silty loam. So what are the in-season application methods? Side dress soil nitrate that we can do. Soil testing at the time of side dress when you ready to apply your nitrogen around mid of June or early July. Leaf tissue perennial analysis, those kind of tools that you can use to manage the nitrogen on the side dress as a side dress application. Precision ag tools, satellite imagery, active optical sensors, drones, raptors, that's everything is in the market, and the models that we use, all those are developed models are helping in predicting how much nitrogen is required to reach to the yield potential from your field. So this is a PSNT, and my digits are kind of disappeared in this PDF file, but I just, you know, consider this from Brian Johns. And look at that PSNT, you got this nitrate here, the soil nitrate, this is expected yield, whatever your yield potential in that area from last 10 years average. And you put the manure, if there is any, and this chart will tell you how much nitrogen you require for your crop as a side dress. But the problem with this thing is how many samples you can take if your corn is at from V to V6 to V12 stage. How many soil samples you can take, and then how many soil samples you can analyze. If you are planting 50,000 acres of corn, how many samples you need, and how much time it takes to analyze a sample, get back the results, and develop the map, and apply the nitrogen. I believe by the time your crop is more advanced stage and already suffering with the deficiency symptoms. So this approach is okay with the small scale holders, but on a large scale holders, land holders, it's impractical to me. Leaf or patio analysis, the most of what I have seen in a practical form, most of the industry people are doing this leaf or patio analysis. And the way they were doing, there was a guy from Case. I was traveling with him, visiting a few farms, and he was taking some patio sampling. He put a flag on one end of the field and measured 100 feet and put another flag and took maybe 4 or 5 samples from the patio, and then he said, "I'm done." I said, "Well, what you expecting from here?" He said, "Well, I will just tell the farmer how much nitrogen he needs for the whole 100 acres." So that's what the patio or tissue sampling taken up in the practical world, if you're depending on the industry. So, well, they are also have some limitations. A person cannot take 100 acres consideration and take this patio sampling from every single acre. So he's just doing his best, whatever the possible resource he has. So that's how patio and leaf sampling is going on. And these are practical and these are followed. So the farmers are following these practices in the field. Leaf and patio sampling is very common in the farmer community to take those samples. So the N range in those in soybean is 4 to 5, and you tells if the range is this, your number is in this range, you tell the farmer it's okay. If it's not in this range, you tell the farmer that, okay, you need a nitrogen requirement, and there's a model, leaf model, that you can follow and tell the farmer how much you required nitrogen to reach to a specific yield potential. Okay, so this is a spare meter color chart. This is one of the method that he can follow to side dress your nitrogen. This is originally was the only idea before active optical sensors were developed. And you enter into the field, you take a few samples from the leaf, use your spare meter, and this is a potato example here on the white. And this paper was published in Hore Science. And I don't know who's the technical editor, but I couldn't figure out what all those numbers are, but I tried to make the slide as bigger as possible. So we can see here there are two varieties of potatoes here, and the R-square value is 77 and 62, that's my best guess. So it is pretty strong. And that the spare meter, it is highly correlated with the chlorophyll content in the leaves. So it tells us how much nitrogen you require. Depends on if you develop those regression equations. So, but with the spare meter, you cannot take the spare meter at each corner of the field and take the sample. But it gives you an idea. Yes, there's a science that can develop in advance level to predict how much nitrogen we need. Here, this is my work, and that's I'm looking younger here. I have a little more gray hairs now. This is the Hongang, other graduate. This is me. Taking care of a green seeker. Here's a crop circle. We use two sensors. These are active optical sensors. They have their own light source. The parameter it takes is basically the leaf biomass and NDVI. This is the ratio for NIR and red NDVI. And the original science behind this NDVI models were that the red wavelength is the only one wavelength that can predict the yield. But in my research, and I believe Dr. Shepherd will be very happy to see that, red edge wavelength found better in all the places compared to red wavelength. So we'll see in the next few slides, but you can see here how much, what are the factors and what are the parameters that you can predict using the NDVI. It's pretty handy, so try that if you're working on something, one of these factors. It is pretty fancy kind of readings when you develop those relationships. So this is another slide from Dr. Shepherd's source here. He's here. I believe he agreed with that. So this is a source of light, LED, light-emitting diode, emitting a light on the target, which is your crop. And after that, your filters, which are in the sensor, get the reflection from your target, which is your crop, depends on the crop health. the NDVI value will be more if your crop is more healthy, and if your crop is deficient, the NDVI value will be close to zero. The NDVI could be only between 0 to 1. So if it's less than 0 or more than 1, it means your sensor is doing some kind of error things in it. So I was talking about the red and red edge wavelength here. In the previous slide, here we have a red edge and NIR filters here. And here, I developed the relationship. This is a nitrogen rate. This is an NDVI. You can clearly see, and this is a V6 to V8 stage in corn. So look at the number here in the red wavelength, which is here, 656. It's almost, you know, getting higher and higher as your biomass is increasing with the nitrogen rates. And here at V12 stage, the red wavelength here is almost saturated. Red wavelength, which is 656, is almost saturated with the nitrogen rate and NDVI readings, V12 stage. And the reason is the biomass. All the light emitted from the red range is absorbed. There's no reflection. So if you have more biomass, you have a limitation. You cannot predict any more biomass with the red wavelength. But if you look at the red edge wavelength here, which is 730 nanometer, you have a whole lot of space where it can improve. And if you have a bigger biomass crop, it can still go and predict it. This is an example how we can improve the model. So we found that the red edge wavelength is more feasible wavelength that can predict your yield potential better than compared to red wavelength. But here, if you take the crop height and multiply it with your sensor readings, you get the better results. There's more correlation between the sensor reading and the crop yield. So the height has been in the literature proved that it is correlated with the yield, and it is also correlated with the end rate study. So we multiply the height of the crop with the sensor readings, and it improves the relationship. So why the red and red edge wavelength is different? Why they behave different? So red spectrum measures 2D, two-dimensional green biomass, but only sensitive to low chlorophylls. The red edge wavelength, it is high, 700 to 750 nanometer, and after that I would say it's an infrared. It's sensitive to wide range of chlorophyll. The chlorophyll here is 3 to 5 microgram, but look at here, 0.3 to 45 microgram. So it has a wide range of chlorophyll that it could be sensitive compared to red wavelength. So that was the reason why red and red edge was behaving different when the crop biomass is high. Okay, so this is the model that we developed in North Dakota State, and it is commercially available for the growers. And I will explain you why the model is more different than the other models in the United States. So here, you took the reading from your normal field, and you took the reading from your high-end field. So in this model, in sensor-based model, you have to develop a high-end plot. We call it an N-rich strip. So you develop the high-end plot, and you calibrate your sensor. You took the readings from there, and sensor will tell you the yield potential from high-end plot. And then you enter your tractor in your normal field, and you tell the normal field, which is getting less nitrogen and has a pre-planting, and then it will predict how much yield you're getting here. And the difference goes here, and that equation will give you how much nitrogen you require. And this is a pretty simple, and there's no training required for any farmer to understand this kind of relationship. So there's an algorithm being developed in corn. Pollen and Shepherd, 2010, University of Missouri, North Dakota State University, Oklahoma State University. All these models are available, and I believe if anyone wants it, you can see on the papers, and it's commercially available too. Oklahoma is one have a nitrogen use efficiency website where you can go and find model developed not even for United States, but around the world for wheat, corn. But there's a question I have for those models. Future questions. Farmer adoptions. How we can convince the farmers to adopt this technology. When you have equations and you give that equation to the farmer, you're probably doing the worst thing in your life. He probably don't look at it. And he will throw you out of this field. So when you're dealing with the farmer working from, wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and after 10 hours, around 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, he has some kind of an issue with the model. He never used that model again. Because he had to plant or apply fertilizer next 500 to 1,000 acres. So those kind of training and issues we have to address to take the science to the ground level. We can develop the science, but we have to develop the methods, how we can make the science as practical as possible to make it more adoption among the growers for which we are working. If our science is not getting there, there's no sense. Need more work, different algorithms, climate, you know, future question, different algorithms, different models that we talked about. How many models we need? How many science approach we need to go to develop a high nitrogen use efficiency models or some kind of approach? Climate variations, technical support system, training and awareness, equipment modification. You tell the farmer you can apply variable rate technology, but do you think that they have the equipment to support that kind of technology? Most of the growers don't have that kind of equipment. They have to modify it or they have to buy it. Thanks to God, we don't have that kind of expensive at this point of time. If you need a liquid fertilizer, it is around $6,000 equipment that you can hang around behind your tractor and you can use that. But I'm not sure about the granular form, how we can manage that. I talked to a guy in Case, and he said, well, and it's a two-row planter. I said, I need a variable rate technology fertilizer applicator. And he said, well, he needs a 4 to 5 separate motors to operate that kind of equipment. And it is impossible to get as small as small amounts of nitrogen getting through to the pipes, those little pipes. So science, after going from here to the ground, there's lots of gaps involved in it.